Welcome to the CLS Experience. I'm your host, Craig Siegel. I'm a born and raised New Yorker who achieved success with multiple businesses, but I crave something deeper. So I dedicated myself to personal growth and transformation by revamping my mindset. I went from being unable to run a mile to conquering four marathons the following year. Now, I want to help others manufacture big breakthroughs of their own.
It's the simple things, but you do that with enough consistency over a period of time, and all of a sudden you get to go, you know what? When I say something, I do it. So when I say I'm going to be a multimillionaire, or I say I'm going to be a billionaire, you know what? I actually believe it because I do what I say I'm going to do. And then, you know, then eventually, it's like you said, no one would bet against me. Eventually, the world submits. And it just goes, you know what? I'm going to pass over her and I'm going to go hit up the easy person because I can't mess with that chick. Like the universe goes, I'm not messing with her, even though it does from time to time. And then I smack it down. But it's like it would rather go pick on somebody else because it knows not to mess with me because I do what I say I'm going to do. And I have integrity and I have grit and I have strength and I have courage, and it doesn't mean I don't have fear or that like I don't have that quote unquote anxiety or that I'm perfect or anything. It just means in spite of all that, I'm doing it anyway. I'm always taking the next step. I'm always climbing the next ladder to get where I want to go because I know that me not doing that is a disservice to others.
On today's episode of the CLS Experience, we have a very special treat. She's an empire-building architect and powerhouse. She's a speaker, author, visionary, and queen behind the 10X empire. She's a badass entrepreneur, investor, and business mogul, just an absolute juggernaut in all facets of life and a phenomenal human being. Please welcome the trailblazing Elena Cardone. How you doing, Elena?
Oh, man, I'm good now. I love that intro. Thank you.
I did good by you for that.
Oh, heck yeah. That was a good one. I like it.
Good, good. And like I was saying, like, I know you do a lot of these and so do I, but you have my word. We'll keep it fresh. We'll make it different. We'll have a lot of fun and we will absolutely manufacture magic here together today.
Boom. I love it.
We're going to start off a little weird. You ready for me?
Oh, yeah.
Elena, what is your superpower?
I think my superpower is my ability to help other people build empires. Ooh. I'm an amazing support system, you know, support, show active interest in the success of support, willing and capable of bearing the weight of something. So I help other people reach a heightened level of success once they've capped out at their top.
I love that. That's unique.
It is unique. It's amazing. Yeah. You know,
it is amazing. And that's special. Not most people can't, you know, look, it takes something to build other people up and to help people with that. And I definitely admire that about you.
Thank you.
Describe yourself in three words.
In three words?
Yes.
Badass.
You can say it.
I can't curse, can I?
If you want, you can. I won't tell anyone.
That's okay. I try not to. I save my cursing for the gym or for the shooting range. And then the rest of the time, I try to keep it classy.
Likewise. And by the gym, you mean when you're crushing it doing the MMA?
Yeah, exactly. My knuckles, my hands, you know, bruises everywhere. Once I get good, I think that might go away a little bit. But yeah. For now, I'm, you know...
I love it.
I'm in learning phase.
I understand completely. What's something interesting about you that not a lot of people would know?
Wow. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that, you know what? I know that people think that I'm very extroverted, and I am, and I'm outgoing, but actually I don't really like to talk about myself, and I have a hard time exposing inner vulnerabilities and weaknesses, but I only do it so that other people can learn from it. But I'm very uncomfortable with it. And I am a little bit like socially awkward.
Understood.
I mean, well, I cover it really well, but what goes on inside for me is, you know, I have to constantly overcome the uncomfortableness or whatever the word is of that, you know, like speaking in front of audiences, I'm trembling behind stage, or if I have to go to a party and socialize and have normal talk, like it's very hard for me.
Yeah. Does it get a little bit easier?
It gets easier because I know how to do it, but it still exists in me. I don't know what that is. If you want to call it, like, I mean, I wouldn't say anxiety. That's not the right word because I don't have anxiety. It's just not a place where I'm totally comfortable. Like I'm really comfortable with my guys at the gym, or I'm really comfortable with my guys on the shooting range. And I'm really comfortable. Like when I worked on 60s Hot Rods, like, I don't know. I'm just comfortable usually around like guys in not high profile, like dress up situations. Like when I have to do girl, like I'm like, I don't do fancy girl well. Like, it's really hard for me. I'm very feminine. I embrace that. I am definitely a woman. I love being a woman, but I find it a very big struggle to keep up with being all the stuff that comes along with being a woman. It doesn't come naturally to me. Like, it's very easy for me to not keep up with my hair, with my nails, with the waxing, with the, you know, it's, you know, there's a whole list of things that I am not, I don't do that well. And I also don't do those conversations well with other women. Like that stuff bores me a little bit. So it takes energy for me to fit in.
I love that. And I agree. That's definitely something that a lot of people wouldn't probably think about you, but like, and also like the mentality, like you get bored in those types of non-stimulating conversations.
Yeah. Like I can only do it for short periods of time. And then I'm exhausted. It exhausts me. Like people always say, gosh, you know, how do you keep up with your life? And you're always on the go. And how can you be around so many people? Like when we are at the Growth Con and whatnot. And the truth is that energizes me. The more I do and the more I'm around people of like-mindedness, the more energized I am. And, you know, when people win from our products and services and they like with those conversations or collaboration type conversations or production, like I am jazzed, but the times that I get exhausted are on meaningless conversations. They like kill me.
Understood. I feel the same way, which is exactly why I had to have you on the CLS experience, because I want to feed off your energy. And I love being around people like you who think so big that it's weird.
Yeah, I do think so big that it is weird. And, you know, that does present a whole different type of challenge, you know?
100%.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you one last weird one, then we'll get deep. When was the last time you had an unbelievable belly laugh?
I mean, it's been a while. It has been a while. But, I mean, I can't even think of the last time, which sucks. But it's the truth.
But I see you with the with your daughters online and they put the makeup on you. It looks like you guys are having a lot of fun laughing.
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of fun. You know, I think laughter is a very good indicator on what's going on with our life, because the more heavy it gets or pressure cooker situation that it is, the more I try to infuse it with fun and challenges and humor. So you can see a lot of that when I try to bring that into our relationship to kind of let the steam off of things. So I do think that that's really important. But the belly laugh that I'm talking about, like, you know, they're few and far in between these days. I need more just like fun laughter.
I understand completely. Laughing's the best.
It is.
Yeah. Are you ready to get deep?
Yeah.
When did you officially become Elena 2.0?
I don't know. I don't even know what that means. What is 2.0? Is that like
your new revamped mindset, how on fire you are today? I know it wasn't always like that. It's part of the journey. When did that really hit, when you had this vision?
Well, in 2008, I think that's when it kind of really hit, when I had to reassess who I am, how, and thoroughly change my operating basis. That was when I was pregnant with our first child. Grant and I were on the verge of losing everything. We were under a big lawsuit. I had to really look at who was I really being, who, what was I bringing to the table as far as a relationship. And then I also had to look at trading in an acting career, which I had at that time, in order to trade up to an empire with Grant Cardone, which meant I had to be able to trust a man. I had to be able to depend on a man, which was everything I was taught not to do, never to depend on a man, be independent, never let any woman around the world down by supporting a guy. Like, I had to just like get right with everything. So I think I had a lot of growth at that point. So 2008 was one time. I think birthing the kids naturally at home was another time. You gained some sort of confidence and strength and just like a war badge as a woman. Like, ooh, like it's not even describable. Once you go through something like that, you're just like, you know what? No one can mess with me. Like, I know I have met myself. I know I can literally deliver. This, like, you know, when there is no other option, that's who I am. And I know I will show up.
I love that.
I mean, that's another one. There's just different times. Now I'm experiencing a new one. I'm taking on this new endeavor. I've just become a realtor. I'm partnering up with EXP. I'm going to build the biggest real estate agents in the world. I'm going to also sell high-end real estate, like stuff I've never done before, but I'm like starting at the ground level, surrounding myself with the infrastructure. And I'm going to create a multi-million dollar business. But more importantly than that, because I already, you know, I'm not apologetic, but I already have that. Right. But what's more important about that dynamic now is that I get to be the empire builder for all the people that I intend to support and help build out their empires. That's my legacy. That's the spiritual contributions to my bank. That's my reward. So right now is another one.
I understand all of it, and this all speaks to my soul. And one thing that you mentioned is when, like in 2008, when, and I do a lot of homework because number one, I'm a huge fan of yours. And obviously number two, because preparation breeds confidence. I know you said that at that time you made the biggest bet there is, and you bet on Grant, and he was your triple crown.
He is my triple crown.
I love that.
He is my triple crown. He is not an easy triple crown,
no,
but he is my triple crown. He always delivers. He delivers in abundance, and he's never let anyone down in that realm. You know, he always shows up. I know who that man is. I know what his heart is. And, you know, now in hindsight, I could say, oh, well, that was a safe bet. But at the time, I didn't really know that. You
but
know?
Also, like when as a man, like when someone like you, like bets and puts all the chips in on you or on me, it's a good feeling. It gives us like a lot of confidence that maybe we didn't even have before that. So you helped a lot in raising what he's capable of too.
Well, and the thing that I think is very admirable about him is that he does give me a lot of that credit for the mindset and the vision and my ability to expand and push him to stretch as well. And I think it's very admirable that he admits it and he supports me and in my role in our empire. And I think it sets an example and makes it safer for other men out there to not be embarrassed of their partner, but to be able to include them in and understand the dynamic of the power of two or more. You know, in an empire, you need more, but it helps when it starts in the bedroom, you know, like from that point outward, you know?
Yeah. Reverse engineering it. That makes perfect sense to me. I love it. I told you we're going to jump around a little bit. I want the audience, because we have a ton of downloads. We just hit 100,000 in just 2 months. And they love to get a feel for the journey of the juggernauts like you. And I know you're outspoken about some of the beginning parts, but I want them to understand where you came from, like where you've been. I know you grew up in New Orleans, and at an early age, around 13, you had a pretty big tragedy when you lost your friend. And that kind of set you on a short-term path.
Yep. So yeah, 13, unfortunately, my best friend who lived across the street perished in a fire with her mother. I was there. I was one of the first people actually there before the fire department. Anyway, long story short, you know, as they recovered her body, I unfortunately witnessed the sight of that, which no one should ever have to even imagine what something like that looks like. But at 13, I was not, or any age, but especially at a vulnerable 13, I was not prepared to and equipped to dealing with that. And so, yeah, I just turned toward excessive alcohol, drug use. I really didn't want to live. I was in a lot of pain. And so I just acted out and surrounded myself with not the right people. And eventually I made a decision to pull myself out of that. And I wanted to, it was like an homage, really. I had a cognition one day, an epiphany that Goldie, that was my friend, I had a dream, actually, that she came to me in the dream and she was like, how dare you use me as an excuse to mess up your life? Like, as a friend, wouldn't I want you to succeed and be happy in life? So why don't you give me that? Why are you giving me this other thing? So that dream was really like I had never thought like that before.
That's deep.
It was deep. And so I decided, you know what? I wanted to then make something of myself and prove, not prove, but for lack of a better word, prove my capabilities and my reason for living. And was that I am made to do more and that I could actually go on a path. And if I were to ever succeed, then I could keep the curtains open to help other people like me that were not supposed to make it. I was not academically smart in school. I was always different. I was a vision person. I was hyper. I was different. And I wasn't supposed to make it. I came from this punk rock background. We were supposed to be punk rock for life, you know? So I just wanted to show that for anyone that wanted to break out of that mold and become bigger or challenge themselves to go deeper and be greater and reach a potential, that I would leave the curtains open so that you could learn from what I did right, from what I did wrong, and help fast track somebody else's way to success. Because I want to go to the top with all the other me's. I'm not, like I told you earlier, I'm not comfortable innately around just, this might be something no one knows about me, but innately, I'm not really comfortable around really wealthy people. I'm comfortable around being around people like me, you know, down home girls. Like, I don't know how to do that thing, you know, well, and wealthy people kind of intimidate me, or like, they're not my people. I don't know how else to say it. I don't want to offend them, because I don't want to go into agreement that wealthy people are greedy, or like sometimes people have this negative connotation for wealthy people. So I don't want to feed into that, because if you have that, you're never going to get that. But as best as I can put it, they're not my people. So I want to help all of the me's come up, and let's be there together and figure it out together and have fun and vacation and travel the world together and experience new heightened levels of success together for the first time. You know, like, that's fun to me. That's interesting.
I know what you're thinking. Can one cultivate a bulletproof mindset, or do they have to be born with it? The answer is as follows. We create our own reality. Want to develop and acquire the mindset techniques to completely revamp your mind, alter your perspective, see opportunities where you once saw limitations, tap into all your potential, and cultivate confidence on command? CLS Universe. I bring to you, for the first time ever, once in a lifetime, the entire Moonshot Masterpiece Experience online course, jam-packed with all the tools and strategies I use to launch CLS into another stratosphere, filled with modules, worksheets, how to tangibly transform into the 2.0 version of yourself and display your gifts to the world. Very simple. Go to CultivateLastingSymphony.com, tap programs, and then bang, begin your moonshot today. Let's stop acting like we're going to live twice. Thank me later. You dig? And I could see how passionate you are about and the way you speak about this. So it makes perfect sense. It resonates with me. And I'm kind of the same way. So from then you went to LA to pursue modeling, acting, to kind of get away from that and kind of spread your wings a little bit, right?
Yeah, I wanted to go to Los Angeles. I didn't really know what else I could do. I had always wanted to be an actress. And I thought the thing that's going to get me out of New Orleans was that. I mean, there really wasn't anything else for me to fall back on. I never considered myself like, you know, I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm degrading myself by any means, but I'm not that type of person. Like, I'm not going to be a lawyer or a doctor. I don't have the discipline. I have zero interest in that smart kind of area. You know, I'm not electronically savvy. So there weren't really a whole lot of options. I know how to do that very well. Like, that's what I did all day during school. Like, I had these visions. What if this happened or this happened? And then what would be the outcome of that and this and that? And so that's what I do. And that's how my mind works. And so for me, acting would be like, okay, this character does this and this, and how do they act and tell a story and present and communicate? Like, so that was really my only option out of New Orleans. So I just followed that train.
Well, that's you being resourceful, number one. So kudos to you. And I know that you said, like, once you got it there, you started to have success, but you can never quite get over the hump, like a little bit over making six figures until you completely altered your money mindset, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. I had to get over the fact that, you know, I was a sellout if I became rich because I had the punk rock mentality, or, you know, I had to look at everything that I thought about money, or what is a lot of money. And, you know, like, I can't do that. Other people can do that, but I can't do that. Like, I had that in my head. And then I would just have to open it up to, well, can I just be open to the possibility that I can actually have a lot of money, that I can take the actions, that I can be responsible with it, that it could just enhance my life? Can I just be open to that? Can I be open to the fact that I won't be a sellout if I have money? Can I be open to just a different perspective? And that's how I was slowly able to change the perspective. And you know, in hindsight, I have had a few friends in New Orleans, like two or three that I can think of, that don't like what I've become with my life. But I look at them and I see where they're at, and they're still doing drugs and they're still not doing well. And I don't need to trade places. Like, it's okay. They can think I'm a sellout. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, I don't care so much about having to please everybody. I just have to keep my own integrity at this point.
100%. And like, for me too, that's so relatable to me, because look, I've lost a lot of relationships even in the last year, as like, I'm taking off with the CLS thing. I want to be around people like you that are doing great things, making impacts and thinking so big. And like, you just outgrow relationships. It just kind of is what it is.
It's so true. Yeah. You do. And you have to be willing to look at that too, that just because somebody was your friend at a certain period of life, or maybe even as savage as a family member, just because they are, doesn't mean they're entitled to be in a certain position forever. Yeah. You know, they can be put in, if it's a family member and you know, you can't get rid of them, but you can know where their place is.
Yes.
And you can know how to deal with them, so you're not, you know, upsetting them or antagonizing them, but you also don't have to give them a higher position than they are in your empire. And then some people, it's like, are you willing to sacrifice certain relationships that really don't have your best interest in mind, no matter how much they say, I'm only trying to help, I just care about you, all those things, when they really don't have an interest in you reaching a heightened level of success? Are you willing to, like, walk away or create distance? You do have to sacrifice and make changes in order to get where you want to go. Like, you have to be willing to get up out of your comfortable chair and move to another location if you want to be in another location. That's just what has to happen sometimes. And sometimes you have to meet new people and create a new thing for yourself. And you're never going to do that if you're anchored to people that are really committed to keeping you staying the same, because you're perfect just the way you are.
That's right. And also, like, me and you, like, we're continuously growing. Like, we don't have egos. Like, we want to keep bettering ourselves. And you, as you continue to blossom, you attract those types of people to the new version of you. So the 2.0 version just is what it is.
That's right. And as you blossom and you do more, literally you or at least for me, I've become so interested in all the other endeavors that I'm doing. I don't have a whole lot of loaf time. So some people could look at my life and say, well, gosh, I don't want that. Like, that's boring to me. Well, then that's something you need to look at. Then you can stay where you're at and do that. But for me, I don't have a lot of loaf time. I don't have a lot of, like, quote unquote friends. Like, I don't have a need to go out and just hang out, like what I was saying, with the girls or wine night, or like I have my vision so big for what I want to do with this lifetime that I'm so busy creating in that. And then if I'm not creating in that, I'm creating with the family and then this and that. So there's not a whole lot of do nothing time. And I don't miss that. Like I said earlier, that's when I get tired, like doing the loaf time stuff.
Likewise. I love it all. If you can't see, I'm smiling from ear to ear to the audience. And also, like, I heard you say, like, in regards to the money, like, what is it really, right? It's energy. Like, you're never going to see the thing in the bank account, like, specifically. Like, people have this connotation about money and they trap themselves from being open to it in abundance.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, I had another realization about money, that I'm never going to see the amount of money that I'm quote unquote worth or that we have. It's never going to be real to me. And even if it was stacked up in a room and I looked at it, I don't really know that I'm ever going to really get it. What I find interesting is, for a very long time, I thought I needed to have, like, so much money in order to give me confidence to be able to make a phone call or to walk into a room and be powerful and accepted, or whatever the idea was. I always had this idea, if I'm a billionaire, I could do whatever. I would have the FU money. I could, you know, I could create my own thing. I wouldn't care if, you know, this opportunity or that opportunity didn't work out, because I'm a billionaire. Like, and who doesn't take a billionaire's phone call? Right. And then I realized, okay, well, why do I need a digit in a bank account that I'm never going to see that says I'm a billionaire to be that person? Why can't I just give myself the freedom to be the mindset of a billionaire, even though I'm not? I mean, it doesn't mean, I don't want anyone to hear me wrong, it doesn't mean I'm saying go out and spend money that you don't have, because then you'll somehow, like, that's completely distorted and not what I'm saying. I've been years through sacrifice phase. There was no Chanel in my life for 10 years while I was building this thing. But I'm saying, how do I give myself the freedom to be the giant? How do I give myself the freedom to make a phone call or not care that this deal didn't go through or that deal didn't go through? I would just create this or that because I have all this, so it doesn't matter anyway. How do I give myself that freedom without needing the pretend digits that are never going to register to you when you actually do have them anyway? Why can't you just be that now? And then when I started to learn how to do that and be, it's called be like, for me, be that billionaire, then do the actions that it takes in order to get that done. And then you have all the things that come along with all of that. But it's not out of reverse. It's not, well, once I have the $1 billion, then I can be the this person and the who cares and the who. That's not how it works. You have to be it now, then do it, and then have it.
That's right. And a lot of it has to do with confidence. And, like, one thing that I always teach my clients is, like, the art of modeling, which is a mindset technique. Like, you model attributes from the greats that have already done it. And it's not like I'm not Craig, you're not Elena. You're just borrowing some of the attributes to elevate your confidence that they've done. And then it becomes a part of you as you continue to have these types of results. So for the audience listening, like, this is so valuable. You don't need to have all that status to start taking action. Take messy action, show up, and then the results will come from there.
Yeah. And do things that challenge yourself. Like, you know, this MMA thing, like, I am, like, not, like, that is not my forte. Like, in my head, I am 6'4". I'm, you know, on special forces. But what comes out of this body is, like, totally not coordinated, geeky, like, nothing matches up. But I do it because not only does it require me to discipline myself and to pursue something and to try to wrap my head around like the coordination thing. You know, it challenges me. Like the real estate course I did from start to finish in 28 days, that gives me a sense of pride in myself. Wow. And confidence. I put actions in the future and I make myself go through them. Like I'm going to deliver a mastermind and then do it. I'm going to deliver a speech and then I'm going to do it. I'm going to, you know, create this event as a mother and then I'm going to do it. You know, I constantly put things to make me go through experiences so that I can come out on the other side bigger, badder, and better. Ooh. You know, they don't just happen. It's like I create them.
Yeah, you're very strategic. I love it. I know all about your royal court. I'm very selective and strict when using any types of products, period. However, the CLS experience is all about elevating your state and getting the mind right, as it is our biggest asset in life. Something I've incorporated into my life is CBD, specifically Sweat CBD. Just like this podcast, Sweat CBD is all about enhancing your state, designed to optimize your physical and mental well-being. I personally love their products, specifically the oil and the gummies. I've tried a few different CBD brands and products, and to me, this is the most natural feeling. I love their products and what the brand stands for. The founder of Sweat CBD is a dear friend of mine, and she's offering the entire audience, all the listeners, CLS family and universe, a special promo code. Enter CLSCBD at sweatcbd.com. Enjoy. I love you all. I have to ask you, when you first met Grant, he was very persistent. You weren't so responsive at first. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's very accurate. I was an actress in LA, never wanted to be married, never thought I wanted to have kids, really. I hung around other actors, musicians, and then Grant comes along and he looks like a businessman. And, you know, he was very confident. I thought it was arrogant. And I just was not interested in some guy that thinks he could buy women and, like, you know, throw his money around like that was going to impress me. I moved to LA when I was 17. So by my late 20s, I was like, yeah, no, that ain't going to happen. But yep, he was persistent. 2 phone calls every month for 13 months. And finally, I surrendered when he finally figured out that I like to shoot guns. Leaves a message saying he rented the gun range. And of course, me being like a bee to honey, very predictable, I called him back and I was like, okay, I'll meet you there. Like, I know I'm weak, but I am weak for what I'm weak for.
Well, listen, you know? You made him work for it for 13 months. Give yourself a little credit.
Well, well, that's true. But, you know, it took him a while to get clued in on what would get my attention.
Yeah, understood. And I love when you talk about like the relationship specifically, like a lot of times, like it's 50-50, but that's not really the case. Like you both go 100 miles an hour and then you get to the desired result, right?
Yeah, we're not a 50-50 relationship. We're like, I show up 100%. He shows up 100% in his roles that we have very specifically mapped out based on strengths and weaknesses, not male, female, but based on strengths and weaknesses. I run all these departments. He runs all these departments. I'm going to execute on all my departments and in my role. Whether we're fighting or not, whether we love each other or not, whether we like each other or not, I'm showing up in this relationship at 100%. And likewise, and I think that's our secret sauce on why, and we work in a collaborated effort, in a coordinated, collaborated effort with the mutual goal of hitting the heightened level of success and the purpose that we're both on the same page for. We have our couple's goals, and that's what we're working towards. So that 100 and 100 catapults us into a sphere that, you know, will just completely destroy anyone that's doing 50-50. Like I'll mop the floor with you all day long. Like,
I don't think anybody, especially in the CLS audience, would bet against you. You mentioned success and people often ask me, but I'd love to hear your perspective. What is your definition of success?
My definition of success is overcoming the barriers and the challenges that life presents itself in order to accomplish those goals, whatever they may be, parenting, wife, business. And in doing that and overcoming those challenges and hitting your targets and your wins and your goals. That's what success is to me.
Love
when
that.
I have those wins in life, I am a success.
Yes. And you mentioned earlier, like for 10 years, it was no Chanel and stuff like that. And also like something I heard you say that really hit home to me is once you get, like you go through the journey, the ups and the downs. And just to be clear, like no one's journey goes up like this. It's more like this. When you get to that finish line, like you don't think of all like the falls and the blood, the sweat and tears, like you're acknowledging the victory once you're there.
Yeah, that's true. But I do recognize it. You know, when I look at the plane for me, some people, like we have a plane, we have two helicopters now. I'm very proud of those. You know, some haters can look at us and say, oh, they're showing off on social media. I think they're confused about money myself, but that's a different subject. For me, when I see that and I post that, what I see in my vision of that is all the successes, like you mentioned, everything that we did right. But it also, it's like the Super Bowl ring for me. Those are trophies that have manifested in the world that I need. You need trophies in life. You need wins, like to show you that you are on the right path, that all of the mistakes that I have made or and have learned from, or all of the things that I have avoided, the people, the situations, the opportunities that I knew were no good, but it took strength and discipline to walk away from because it was a bit of a dangling carrot.
Yeah.
All of that shows up in the plane and the helicopter. And that's what I see when I see those. I see, you know what? That feels good. That was an earned Super Bowl ring of life. And those are important. So I like to collect those.
Yeah. And something that I need to do a better job of is celebrating some smaller victories and stuff like that, because I'm so motivated, especially now that like I pivoted and I found my absolute passion and purpose. Like every time I hit a milestone, like, you know, I want to push it back. We'll celebrate once we get to this. But that's not good, because if you have an arrow and the target keeps moving backwards, like that's not positive either. You have to be able to celebrate the victories along the journey, right?
We say make firm the wins and ignore the losses. I mean, I learned from the losses, but you do need to celebrate them. We do not do a good enough job like celebrating the wins. We do collect our trophies. We do a good job at that.
Yes.
But yes, you do have to celebrate your wins along the way. You know, like it just like what you focus on brings more of that. So, but don't take it also like you celebrate to where you're taking off. It's just a half acknowledgement, like a continue, you know, like a half acknowledgement is a It tells the other person, keep talking, like It's a half acknowledgement. It's not like I got that, which is a full acknowledgement. So keep it going so that, you know, you have your So the win is in, but you're still going forward. It's just to keep you going forward.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. And I'm going to apply that as well. So thank you for that. Another misconception is like a lot of people think like when you're a juggernaut, like you or you guys are super successful, like every day is just, it's 100 degrees and sunny. Like you do things on a daily basis that you don't love to do, so to speak, but you have the discipline to understand that it's for the greater good and it's going to lead you closer to the result, right?
Million percent. That's one of the reasons I do love MMA. Like, I know I keep bringing that up. I do love it, but I hate it at the same time. I hate waking up early. I hate training. I roll my eyes at my trainer. I complain all the time. Like, it's just, but I do it because I know what it does to me mentally. And I think that sport is so connected to the entrepreneurial space. It's ridiculous. Like it is so similar metaphorically to me. But yeah, I mean, not only that, it's like, you know, dealing with people or phone calls or rejections or arguments or, you know, all the million things that come in. Sometimes I'm like, I just need a break, you know, and then I'm like, no, I don't need a break. I need to like refocus. What is my purpose and pick one action to do and complete it? Then I feel better. Then complete the next action and complete it and just pick one at a time and not look at the whole thing buzzing around that creates all the chaos and confusion, and just pick one thing and do it and just pick another thing and do it. And before you know it, I'm like, you know, scoring the touchdown.
I love it all. And you guys are building quite what's going to be a very impressive legacy. You've already left a legacy. When it's all said, like, your kids will have this legacy. Like, what do you want your legacy to be?
I want my legacy at this point to be that I was the woman not only behind Grant and our empire, but that I was the woman behind thousands upon thousands of other people's empire. And that's why, you know, again, that's why I partnered up with EXP, because this was the opportunity for me to be the woman behind all those other people. And that's really what I want to leave as my legacy. I mean, aside from my kids and all of that stuff, I'm just talking business world. For my legacy, for my children, I want to rear happy, competent, producing members of society who, you know, are confident and powerful. And so if I can do that through the kids, then I can be a happy mother, like wife, you know. Can I continue to bear the weight of, can I be strong? Can I get stronger? How can I become more of an asset to Grant? How can I grow, you know, like pushing Grant to another level? Like, I want to leave those legacies as well.
Yeah. And you said, if you can, it's when you can, because you're on fire.
That's right. It's coming.
I know it is. No one would bet against you with all the amazing things that you guys going on, like specifically like the 10X, like that. It looks like a rock concert mixed with all the inspiration and stuff of all the really cool hats that you guys wear and the things that you went on. Which one like makes you, is the most exhilarating for you?
Of all the businesses?
Yeah.
Well, right now, the EXP thing, but aside from that, because it's new and it's exciting.
I can see how passionate you are. And I know
it's something new. Like, it's going to be incredibly huge. And so anyway, but aside from that, I really love Cardone Capital. Again, it's the same thing. People have an opportunity to invest in Cardone Capital, which they would never have access to the kind of deals that we do. Like, it just would never happen. Like, let's be realistic. And they have an opportunity to own a piece of $100 to $150 million asset. It's just what we are doing for people with Cardone Capital, like, is legacy making. That excites me the most. Then after that, it's Cardone Ventures, because I want to, again, like, I want to collaborate. Cardone Ventures, we partner up with other businesses, we scale them and, you know, send them on their way. And so that excites me. Cardone Enterprises, with all the learning tools that Grant has that can be shared with the world. It's Financial Literacy Month. So, you know, ending financial literacy would be like an incredible legacy. And I believe we have the tools to do so. So it's hard to say which one. Like, it's like picking one of your babies to like more, because I believe and I'm a fan and I love them all. Like, I love the 10X events. I have this new thing, Operation 10X Badass, that I'm doing. Like, that excites me. I just really have a lot to be excited about right now.
And that's the best. That's when you're the most alive and most aligned, and it's written all over your face. Something that I have to ask you for the audience, because they'll get so much value out of this. And people always thought, like, I think so big that it's weird, like it makes people uncomfortable. But to be honest with you, I take pride in that. You think bigger than anyone I've ever seen. Is that something that you have to be born with, or can you develop that?
I think you 1,000,000% can develop it. I think what you would have to do first is just look at and write down on a piece of paper your mindset and the way that you already think. Like, what are your limitations? You have to know what you're thinking and how you're thinking. You have to get to know and understand yourself so that you can be real with yourself. And so once I would write down all of those considerations that I have about myself or others or working with people or all these things that block you and get in the way, or your considerations about money. And then I would write down on the other piece of paper, what possibility can you be open to? Can you be open to the possibility of X, Y, Z? And then just be open to it. You don't have to like believe it. Because a lot of times I didn't even believe it. I was just open to the possibility that I could be a billionaire. I was just open to the pot. Like, I had this thing, never to depend on a man. And they always held me back in life. And I was living with that. And I really made myself right about that up until Grant, with every guy, you know, that I attempted to be in a long-term relationship with. They held me back and they were everything I said they were cheaters. They were, you know, but I realized I pulled that in because that was what I wanted to see, to make myself right about that viewpoint. So then I became open to the viewpoint that yes, there must be a guy out of 7 billion people on the planet that could elevate me to a heightened level of success. There must be a guy out there that could help me reach, you know, my dreams and potential. And I didn't believe it, but I was just open to it. And that's when Grant kind of came into my life right away. So that's what I would say. Look at what you believe, because chances are you're very right about that. And you'll have a long list of examples of how you were right about that. And then, hey, if you want to change that trajectory, how can you just be open to another possibility? Just that's all I ask, is that you be open to it. I'm not even asking that you believe it.
Just be open in terms of
just
the frequency.
Open to a different possibility.
I love that. And something that I've learned recently, and it's so true, you don't have to see it exactly, but be abundant to it, as opposed to, you know, have the shackles on. I have to ask you this. Like, people always ask me who I show up in the acts to, who are some of my inspirations. I like to use the world as my playground, get different source of inspiration from different places, whether it's a book, people like you, a movie, a song, anything. And I love to journal. Who are some people that you have show up in the acts over the years? Who are some people that inspire you?
Oh, so many people. My mother, my father, Grant, different actors, Audrey Hepburn. I mean, there's so many. L. Ron Hubbard's a big one. I've read a lot of his books. He's an amazing person to understand the mind. But I've read, you know, Think and Grow Rich. I've read different books, lists, you know, like over the years. I'm really like a sponge in life. Like that's
same.
One of the things I do, like with the vision kind of things. I'm always studying people. So whether I know your name or not, if I've come into contact with you, I've studied you. You know, I've studied your mannerisms. I've studied who does what. What are their statistics? What does their car look like? How do they keep their things? Who's around them? What is the condition of the things around them? Like, I'm always processing and studying people, and I absorb that and I just make my mental notes. Okay, let's tweak this. Let's add this. I like what they're doing. So I use or stay away from or avoid, like, from everyone. So it's hard to say one person because it's constant. It's anyone. It could be someone I'm studying at a supermarket.
I know what you're thinking. You're asking yourself, how's this guy's hair on such fire? How is it so nice and thick? I want to tell you about the hottest hair styling product line. The brand is called Ryan Scott. I've been using this styling cream and shampoo or conditioner for about a year now, and I can tell you it's absolutely on fire. There's a few things that set it apart from the competition. Number one, the smell is amazing. It's a fresh fragrance of aloe, cucumber, and grapefruit. When I'm working out or on a run, the product doesn't irritate me. In fact, it's invigorating. These products can take you from the bench to the boardroom. Ryan Scott, the founder, is a dear friend of mine, and we're offering exclusively the CLS Universe a special promo. Enter code CLS. Thank me later. But also, like you said earlier, like, you have to be in that frequency where you allow yourself to receive a message from anywhere or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I never want to be in the place where I think I know best. Because that shuts off learning. That's the number one barrier to learning, is if you think you already know everything.
Stunts
your growth. Then you can't be open to anything or any other possibility or any other way.
I couldn't agree more. With everything that you guys have going on, like, simultaneously, how do you personally avoid a burnout? I think you're going to say the MMA, but maybe not.
No, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say I avoid a burnout by staying connected to my purpose and by giving myself goals and challenges and targets that I want to hit, and surrounding myself with like-minded crazy people like myself that have the audacity to think that maybe there's just maybe a possibility of actually succeeding. So, you know, no matter how much work I do, when I'm connected to my purpose and I set up little sub targets that I can achieve along the way, because the big picture is going to take my entire life to achieve. So setting up small little targets and no matter how hard I work, there is no such thing as a burnout for me, because I'm excited and passionate about doing it. And because I've hit the little sub targets along the way, I know that I can, and I'm not overwhelmed by it. Like I said earlier, the only time I experience burnout is when I'm off the course, when I've given myself too much loaf time, when I'm not on my purpose. I get really tired. I get exhausted.
It's the best answer ever.
And then I start wanting to fight with my husband, because then the game became, I came off of the big game to conquer the world. And when I'm not on that, I'm like, well, I can win at this little game. Like, cause I'm witty and I'm, you know, I can make somebody wrong. I mean, I like, let's go. I can win at that game. But the second I engage in that game, that even exhausts me. It makes me miserable. And then I have to like go, no, that's not the game. The game isn't fighting my partner and my spouse. That's not the game. The game is this, like, go conquer the world. There's enough enemies out there that we should be fortified to go out there and like conquer the world together. Cause that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a team member and many more beyond that to go achieve those big dreams.
This is unbelievable, because I saw a quote recently and it said this, and it's exactly the answer that you just gave. And I agree 100%. People are often too tired, not because they're doing so much of what they love. It's because they're doing too much of what they don't love, or too little of what drives their soul and their passion. So it's like the people that, like, in the pandemic, for example, like everyone that just went right to Netflix, it was like day drinking, like they did nothing, but like, look at you, like you made a decision. You got to work. You made things happen. There's always a move to be made. And that's what fuels people's passion and fire.
Totally agree. Yeah. During COVID, I was like, fell into a slump myself. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to come out of this thing and I'm going to make everything that we've ever done look like child's play up until this point. And so I was like very determined. There were a lot of haters at that point. And you know what? More than me winning, I don't want them to win. Do you know what I mean? Like if I stop or fail, they get to win. So I just made that my decision. Like I flourish and prosper no matter what. And then the more I focus on that game, the more I really don't care about their miserable demise. You know, it's just, I want to just not let them win by seeing me fail.
Yeah.
So the answer is flourish and prosper and bring as many people along with me as I can.
That's it.
It kills them.
100%.
Like the best.
People always say, like, how do you deal with haters? And like, my answer is this, like, if you're really taking a shot at life and doing something grand and epic, you won't have to find the haters. They'll find you. The only problem is when you're just coasting and you're not taking a real shot at life, then you probably don't have haters. That should be the wake up call.
Yeah. Yeah, the haters are there just to distract you from your big picture and your big goal. Be disciplined enough to not fall victim of it. And, you know, enemies, which are completely different than haters, but real enemies that threaten the viability of the organization or your family, they need to be dealt with, but they're the only ones and they're very few and far in between, you know, but those people, have at it, chop their head off and parade it around for everyone, put it on a spike and parade it around the town so everybody knows what you do with those type of people. But it's very rare that you have to do that. Everybody else goes in hater category, which you just have to know they are there to distract you. And if you come off a purpose to go deal with them, they're winning, because you're not winning. They are, by getting you off, derailed.
That's it. 100%. Laser focus, and then just let them do what they're going to do. We'll end it with this. And I'm so impressed by you. Like, your energy is obvious, but just your mindset, it's awesome. It's unbelievable. What do you think the most important character trait for anyone coming up is that's going through adversity, to be able to push through that and never lose sight of the vision like you guys are building your empire?
Yeah, it's making a commitment and finding out what it is that you want. What is the life that you want? And then backtrack, you know, like project into the future what you want, then come back, write your list of the actions that you think that you would need to take in order to be able to then have it. And who do you need to be? And what's going to get you to be that person? What's going to get you to be that leader? What do you have to go through? What experiences do you have to put yourself through in order to come up to that level? And certainly confidence is one of them. And you develop confidence by doing what you say you're going to do. And you don't have to conquer the mountain. All you have to do is if you're going through it, you start with very simple, small actions. Like I drink a gallon of water a day and I do it. I say I'm going to work out and I do it. I make my bed and I do it. It's the simple things, but you do that with enough consistency over a period of time. And all of a sudden you get to go, you know what? When I say something, I do it. So when I say I'm going to be a multimillionaire, or I say I'm going to be a billionaire, you know what? I actually believe it because I do what I say I'm going to do. And then, you know, then eventually it's like you said, no one would bet against me. Eventually the world submits and it just goes, you know what? I'm going to pass over her and I'm going to go hit up the easy person because I can't mess with that chick. Like the universe goes, I'm not messing with her, even though it does from time to time. And then I smack it down, but it's like it would rather go pick on somebody else because it knows not to mess with me because I do what I say I'm going to do. And I have integrity and I have grit and I have strength and I have courage. And it doesn't mean I don't have fear or that like I don't have that quote unquote anxiety or that I'm perfect or anything. It just means in spite of all that, I'm doing it anyway. I'm always taking the next step. I'm always climbing the next ladder to get where I want to go. Cause I know that me not doing that is a disservice to others. For anyone else that's looking at me going, you know what? If she can do it, I can do it. So I owe it to others to get it done because I was in that place. I was in that place where I couldn't really do it myself. I needed help. I needed a mentor. I needed someone to encourage me, to motivate me, to show me that it is possible that people like us can do it, that we do not have to go into agreement with the suppression of where we are supposed to be because of whatever the adversity is.
Bang!
I love it. I could talk to you all day. I know the audience, in case they didn't know you, if they're living under the rock, is going to be obsessed with you and fall in love with you in 2 seconds. Where can they keep up with you? Where do you hang at the most? Where can they find you?
Everywhere. Elena Cardone. I'm at Elena Cardone on all socials. You can get the book, elenacardone.com/empire. And you can get my book for free. You pay shipping. I give you the book. But anywhere, elenacardone.com, anything, just Elena Cardone. That's where I am. And I respond very well on my socials.
You hear that, audience? She's not shy. Hit her up on Instagram. Send her a DM. She's very friendly. Say hello.
Yeah, I want to help. I want to help you build your empire. It's my superpower.
You dig? I love it. I just want to say, Elena, you don't shy away from your challenges as they've shaped you. It's something I find very relatable and liberating. I want you to know that you are the definition of resilience, courage, and determination from overcoming numerous obstacles, chasing your passions in LA, and finding your soulmate in Grant and building an absolute empire for the ages. You're a beacon of hope and inspiration on what is possible, and you're changing the narrative for young girls anywhere looking to succeed and look at the world without limitations. I could personally guarantee your best is yet to come. You're someone I admire, I appreciate, I respect very much. I can't wait to continue to watch you fly. And you have my word, this will not be the last time that you and I collaborate.
Oh, that is a 1,000,000% deal. Thank you so much, Craig, for having me on your show and for that incredible acknowledgement. Thank you. Those are my spiritual rewards. Thank you.
So much love you. Keep doing your thing. Thank you, Elena.
I will. You too. Thank you.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow me on Instagram at CraigSiegel_CLS, the YouTube channel Craig Siegel, and our website, CultivateLastingSymphony.com, where you could sign up for our email blast with all free trainings on all of our content. the best is yet to come.